He only is engaged in recreation, in fun, in doing this, doing that, and he does not do any work, then that will also have an impact on him. A person will become lazy, he will not be able to function in society, he will not be able to do basic tasks, because his mindset is that of only playing and recreation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this need in us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it permissible for us to fulfill this need. Within the frameworks of Sharia, recreation and having fun is permissible. It is allowed. Because our deen is complete and comprehensive, and it grants us guidelines upon everything. How to, a person, from the time a person wakes up in the morning, till the time he goes to bed, even on how to use the toilet, there are guidelines for everything. There is the blueprint of our life has been outlined to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used to participate in some recreation and fun. That famous narration of when he had a race with Aisha radiallahu anha when she was younger, and Aisha radiallahu anha had beaten Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that race. But then later on, when Aisha radiallahu anha had become older, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised her again, and they competed, and Rasulullah ﷺ came out, won that race. So Rasulullah ﷺ also participated in activities of fun and recreation, but within the boundaries of Sharia. Manish Patel rahmatullah alayhi mentions that one incident, that he had once written an article, or there was a transcript of his bayan, of with regards to the benefits, encouragement towards swimming. Swimming is encouraging Islam. It is a very good exercise. So, but that his article, so Ma says that once there was a opening of a pool at some school or some venue. So in that place, it was a mixed gathering. There was boys and men, men, boys, women and girls, all mixed together in the gathering. And they weren't even dressed in an appropriate manner. So then Maulana Patel says that this article was read in that gathering. Maulana Patel says that something which was permissible to swim, but now it is being used outside, it is being used outside the parameters of Sharia, now that becomes impermissible. So, as we head now into the tail end of the year, schools have been closed, many businesses will close for a short break. Some people will take their leave during this time. So we will all have some extra and some free time in our hands. So very important few things to consider, that going into this time of, we will have more free time, more time to rest, for recreation, etc. What should be our intention? So firstly, our intention should be that I am taking this leave, I am having this rest to recharge myself, so that I may be able to perform at my best, so I may be able to earn halal rozi for my family, for those who are studying, so I may be able to study, so I may be able to perform my dini duties correctly. This is a period and a time for me to recharge myself so I can be more productive in the future. That should be our intention going into this period, into this time. The second thing that we should take into consideration is that not to make fun, enjoyment, recreation as our objective. Our objective is as mentioned in the Holy, in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have been created, our objective on this earth is only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our sole objective on this earth. Everything else takes the back seat. Everything else does not take preference. We are allowed to have recreation, to have fun, as long as we are not making it our objective. Nowadays, the Western world, they have made this culture of fun, enjoyment, they have made it a lifestyle. So if a person, he's not going out every weekend, he's not doing some activity, he's not going out in late hours of the night, he's not doing certain activities which they are doing, then his life is very boring. His life is very plain. He's a very boring person. Well, this is not true. This is a trap, actually, the trap of shaitan. Shaitan has made the impermissible things seem very attractive, seem very enjoyable. But, and he has made the permissible things seem very boring, seem very mundane, seem very plain. So we should be aware that this is nothing but the trap of shaitan. So we should always remember our objective. We should not make recreation and fun our objective. Take an example of a student, a young child. His parents make all the effort to put him in school, get his uniforms, his stationery, pay his fees, etc. And they send him to school with the objective of studying and learning. But this child, he does not do that. His objective is fun and enjoyment and playing and the excursions, etc. So the whole year goes by, and at the end of the year, his results, his parents are looking at his results, and how disappointed his parents will be. So also we are like the student, but we are sent into this world to study and to learn how to recognize our Creator. That is our objective. So let us not be like the student who was sent for an objective, but he completely disregarded that objective and he got involved in other things. So we should all try to remember وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have been sent in this dunya, in this world, for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an example given. There's a, and this time that we have, that we are given, this rest, this time of rest, it is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should, as with all other ni'mahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should appreciate those bounties. One is we appreciate it with our tongue. We read two rakats, salatu shukr, and we make dua and we thank, verbally thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the other way of making shukr, and the more effective way of making shukr, is with our actions. That how are we using this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us? This amanat of time that we have been given, how are we using it? Are we using it in the correct manner? Are we using it in the correct avenues to do the permissible things? Are we using it for beneficial things, or are we not using it for beneficial things? There is an example given, that imagine you had a bank account. Every one of us had a bank account. We had a bank account, and every day someone deposits 86,400 dollars or 400 rands into our account. But at the end of the day, the catch is, every day you get this money, but the end of the day, that money is wiped out, it gets deleted. And the next day, again, another $86,400 comes into the account. And the same story happens, end of the day, whatever is left gets removed and gets refilled the next day. So what would each one of us do? We would make sure by the end of the day we have withdrawn all that money and saved it one side, or we have used it in some manner. But every one of us has that bank, and that bank is known as time. Every day we are given 86,400 seconds we are given. Each person is given that. How much time, how much of that time are we withdrawing, are we using? And how much of that time are we leaving it into the account and it's being deleted, gone forever? Like how we would make sure we make use of that money. We would withdraw that money, use it up, do something with it. We would not just leave it straight, waste it to the bank account. So let us keep this example in our mind and understand the value of time. It's a nice small saying regarding the value of time. They say that if you want to know the value of 10 years, then ask a newly divorced couple. They will tell you the value of 10 years. If you want to know the value of 4 years or 5 years, ask someone, a graduate who has studied all those years. Ask him the value of those years. If you want to know the value of 9 months, then ask that grieving mother who gave birth after 9 months to a stillborn child. If you want to know the value of 1 month, ask that mother who had a premature baby. If you want to know the value of 1 hour, then ask that husband who has come home from a long journey, is on the way from a long journey, and is waiting to be reunited with his family. If you want to know the value of 1 minute, ask that person who has missed his flight, who has missed the train, or who has missed the bus. If you want to know the value of 1 second, ask someone who has survived an accident by a second. Ask someone who has survived an accident. And if you want to know the value of a split second, ask the Olympic sprinter who got that silver medal. So these are just a nice passage to give us a glimpse on the value of time. And as we head into this time where we're going to be having a lot of free time, then we should also be aware that this time and this season is the season of immorality and the season of shamelessness. Like how every business in December or certain times of the year, business is booming, it's peak season. In the same way for Shaitan also, this is peak season for Shaitan. Shaitan is going to try his utmost best to pull us to the wrong actions and pull us into the wrong avenues. One way the ulama give to how a person can stay safe in this time of, in this period, is what one thing that will keep a person safe is a person's haya. When a person has haya and he has shamelessness, then it will prevent a person from a lot of wrongdoings. Also, ulama mentioned that the Islamic dressing, a person has a topi on, he has a beard, he has an Islamic attire, then this is also is a preventative measure and a barrier for him from falling into sin, from going to the wrong places. Why? Because a person will think twice, I have a topi on my head, I'm looking like a Muslim, I can't be seen in places like this. I have a kurta on my body, I'm wearing a sunnat libas, I have a beard, I can't be seen in these places. This will serve as a barrier and a protection for a person. So, with regards to haya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, إِنَّ الْحَيَاءَ وَالْإِيمَانَ قُرَنَاءُ جَمِيعًا. That haya and iman, they go together. They are inseparable. إِذَا رُفِعَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِعَ الْآخَرُ. When one falls away, when one is lost, then the other one is also lost. So iman and haya are codependent. A person, if he has his haya has been lost, then there is a great danger that his iman could be in danger. This haya and this shame and this modesty is a very, very integral part of our deen. If you have to look at, ulama say that if you have to look at the present condition of the ummah, then many of the issues can be boil down to the lack of haya. If you have to look at simple, if a person just has to look at the history, garments that were worn by people years ago, nowadays, people from those years ago saw the garments that we were wearing, they would be disgusted. They would not like it. But if you have to look at how the degeneration has progress, we will see nowadays people just wear any type of clothes. And also there's an incident mentioned regarding a brother who went for Umrah. So this person went for Umrah with him, his wife, and his brother. So they went for Umrah, and on the return from Umrah, they began to have problems in their marriage. So after a while, the problems continued and continued until eventually the wife and the husband, they separated. And after that wife's iddat, she ended up marrying that brother that they went with for Umrah. And it so happened that when they went for Umrah, then they got to know each other, and that was the reason for the marriage breaking. This what happens when haya and modesty is lacking in our deen. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that Allah bi dhikri Allah tatma'innul qulub, that we are all searching for enjoyment, for rest, for peace of heart. So the actual peace of heart and enjoyment lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person, you will get this in this time when you will have rest, you will relax, you will enjoy it in this world. But if a person wants this true peace of heart and the true relaxation and the true peace, then that only lies in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ulama have given us a few guidelines that we can follow during this time. One is that a person should try to perform all his five daily salah with jama'ah, and he should try and encourage members of his family to do so as well. Second thing that ulama have encouraged us, that a person should start his day with fajr salah, and he should make a routine of reciting some Quran Sharif, making some zikr. This will be his spiritual nourishment for the day. Like how in this time of December, a lot of the government will release a lot of guidelines for safety, because crime also is an increase in this time. They will say, leave your lights on in the night, not to park your car in certain areas. These guidelines that will come from the government and the police. So these are also guidelines which ulama have given us to keep our iman safe. Those guidelines that the government have given us to keep our property and our lives safe. But these guidelines are what the ulama has given us to keep our iman safe. The third thing that ulama say, that every day try and keep, do some daily ta'aleem in the house. Even if it be a few pages, the whole family sit down together and recite few pages from the Fazali Amal, etc. And the fourth one is to encourage the house people and the children to make zikr and to increase the recitation of Quran Sharif. Inshallah, if we have to do all of this, then inshallah our iman will be safe and we will gain everlasting reward, and we will gain the true comfort and the true enjoyment of akhirah, and our iman will be safe, and we will be able to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.